Chapter 8. February 1989, Princeton, New Jersey. Heidi Milligan seemed out of place among the students grouped about the tables of the Princeton University Archive Reading Room. The neatly tailored uniform of a Navy lieutenant commander adorned a spelt body measuring 6 feet from manicured toenails to the roots of her naturally ash-blonde hair. To the young men in the room, she was a welcome distraction from their studies. She knew instinctively that she was being stripped to her skin in their imaginations. But since she'd passed 30, she'd become indifferent, though not too indifferent. "Looks like you're on another all-nighter, Commander." Heidi looked up into the ever-smiling face of Mildred Gardner, the matronly head archivist of the university. "All-nighter?" "Late study. In my day, we called it burning the midnight oil." Heidi leaned back in her chair. "I've got to steal whatever time I can to work on my dissertation." Mildred blew the bangs of her 1940-ish pageboy hairstyle out of her eyes and sat down. "An attractive girl like you can't spend all your nights studying. You should find yourself a good man and live it up once in a while." "First I'll get my doctorate in history, then I'll live it up." "You can't get passionate with a piece of paper that says you're a Ph.D. "Maybe the sound of Dr. Milligan turns me on," Heidi laughed. "If I'm to advance my career in the Navy, I'll need the credentials." "Sounds to me like you like to compete with the opposite sex." "Sex has nothing to do with it. My first love is the Navy. What's wrong with that?" Mildred made a gesture of surrender. No profit in arguing with a stubborn female and hard-headed sailor to boot. She rose and looked down at the documents scattered on the table. "Anything I can pull from the shelves for you?" "I'm researching Woodrow Wilson papers that deal with the Navy during his administration." "How horribly dull. Why that subject?" "I guess you might say I'm intrigued by covering an untapped sideline of history."
"You mean subject matter no male has had the foresight to research before."
"You said it, not me."
"I don't envy the guy who marries you," said Mildred. "He'd come home from work and have to arm wrestle, the loser cooking dinner and doing the dishes."
"I was married, 6 years, to a colonel in the Marine Corps. I still carry the scars."
"Physical or mental?"
"Both." Mildred dropped the subject and picked up the fiberboard case that housed the documents and checked the file number.
"You're in the ballpark. This file contains the bulk of Wilson's naval correspondence."
"I've pretty much exhausted them," said Heidi. "Can you think of any avenue I might have missed?"
Mildred stared into space a moment.
"A slim possibility. Give me 10 minutes."
She returned in 5, carrying another document case.
"Unpublished material that hasn't been catalogued yet," she said with a pontifical grin. "Might be worth a look."
Heidi scrutinized the yellowed letters. Most were in the president's own hand. Advice to his 3 daughters, explanations of his stand against Tammany Hall to William Jennings Bryan during the Democratic Convention of 1912, personal messages to Ellen Louise Axon, his first wife, and Edith Bowling Gault, his second. 15 minutes before closing time, Heidi unfolded a letter addressed to Herbert Henry Asquith, the Prime Minister of Britain. The paper appeared creased in irregular lines as though it had once been wadded up. The date was June 4, 1914, but there was no mark of acknowledgment, which suggested that the letter had never been sent. She began to read the neatly typed script. "Dear Herbert, with the formally signed copies of our treaty seemingly lost and the heated criticism you are receiving from members of your cabinet, perhaps our bargain was never meant to be. And since formal transfer did not transpire, I have given my secretary instructions to destroy all mention of our pact. This uncustomary step is, I feel, somewhat reluctantly warranted, as my countrymen are a possessive lot and would never idly stand by knowing with certainty that..." A crease ran through the next line, obliterating the writing. The letter continued with a new paragraph. "At the request of Sir Edward, and with the concurrence of Bryan, I have recorded the funds deposited to your government from our treasury as a loan. Your friend, Woodrow Wilson. Heidi was about to set the letter aside because there was no reference to naval involvement when curiosity pulled her eyes back to the words, "Destroy all mention of our pact." She hung on them for nearly a minute. After 2 years of in-depth study, she felt she had come to know Woodrow Wilson almost as well as a favorite uncle. And she'd discovered nothing in the former president's makeup to suggest a Watergate mentality during his years in public office. The 10-minute warning sounded for the closing of the archives. She quickly transcribed the letter on a yellow legal pad. Then she checked in both file cases at the front desk. "Run on to anything useful?" asked Mildred. "A trail of smoke I didn't expect," replied Heidi vaguely. "Where do you go from here?" "Washington, the National Archives." "Good luck. I hope you make a hit."
"Hit?"
"Discover a previously overlooked treasure of information." Heidi shrugged. "You never know what might turn up." She had not planned to pursue the meaning of Wilson's odd letter. But now that she had the door open a crack, she decided it was worth a further peek.